I'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 41 and reading a few verses, verse 1 and then verse 10 through 13. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 1, it reads, "Shall we all stand as we honor God by the reading of his word?" Isaiah 41, verse 1 says, "Keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment." Verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even then that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of his word as we send our thoughts and the subject. Fear not, I am with you. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the blessings of this beautiful and wonderful day and this time of year as we celebrate the coming of Christ into the world to bring about our redemption, to save us from our sins. God, we pray for people everywhere that they would, at this time of the year, focus upon Christ and their relationship with him, getting to know him and getting him in their lives and enjoy the peace that Jesus Christ bought that first Christmas that is still here. And I will not be afraid of the circumstances of life and the difficulties that we have to face. Father, may you bless in this hour and those who join us by means of radio and otherwise, that you'll speak to their hearts and speak comfort, bring salvation to them, dear God. Father, may you bless in this hour and grant a fresh anointing again for today's task. These mercies we ask of Jesus Christ, O Lord. Amen. You may be seated. In light of the fact that God has brought us safely through another hurricane season, I think that today should be a day of thanksgiving, always. We should thank him for divine guidance, which should never be taken for granted. More than ever before, we need the hand of God to guide us through this Christmas season. Whether you are rich or poor, black or white, young or old, you need God's right hand to give you divine guidance in these times, troubled times. The right hand of God speaks of strength and power, which he has demonstrated through the years. The longer we live, the more we see the need for God's help, as the pressures of life touch us on every side. When you are young and strong, You may not really see the need for God. But as you begin to grow older, and times begin to close in on you, and your strength begin to wane, and you're not the same as you were before, you perhaps will begin to understand why we really and truly need God. You understand what I'm talking about. Israel had enjoyed hundreds of years of blessings under God's watchful eye while they journeyed 40 years through the wilderness, the desert. Without their clothes and their shoes wearing out. They lived in tents. And daily, God provided food for them. Fresh food every day. No leftovers. No refrigerated stuff. No warm-up stuff in microwave. And yet they were complaining. Imagine fresh bread from heaven every day. No moldy bread, no stale bread. And yet they complained. But when they entered the promised land, they lived in houses that they did not build. God provided for them crops that they did not plant. God be thanked, there were no monkeys to destroy them. But gradually, they began turning away from God until they were totally backslidden and had to be chastened by the hand of God. Still, they didn't turn back to God. And they became even more wicked. Centuries of rejecting the prophet's message. No repentance. So, God brought the Assyrians to discipline them. After a time of captivity, they got the message. And he wanted nothing more than the favor of God once again. I think that we are at that stage in our times and history where people have turned away from God because of good times. Now their biggest fear was whether or not God will ever take them back. And it was for that reason that God said unto them, "Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be afraid to come back." So it is that today in this world, in this backslidden condition, getting worse, we need to be careful as Christians that we don't get carried away with what is happening in the world. For most parts, there is very little respect for the word of God anymore. Even among Christians. And we allow our children to do whatever they want. And if they don't want to go to church, fine, you know, you want to stay home. With all kind of gadgets, people influencing them, and you don't know what they're doing, and they get themselves in trouble. You've got to be careful because every effort is being made to poison the mind of everybody, every individual that's trying to turn you against God and against what is good. Evil is ever present. And I wonder, what in the world is the reason for all this? evil, brethren.
The devil behind of all of this evil. The things that they're doing and the corrupt system in the world and evil is everywhere. Therefore, all of us need to be careful. And we need to give our children proper guidance and supervision. For in subtle ways and little by little, they're trying to corrupt the mind. Everybody. Our ignorance of the future should cause us to seek divine guidance as we set ourselves to cross the unknown seas. Not knowing what the next day will bring forth. However, we must face the future with confidence. Knowing that God is with us. And he has a plan. And therefore, we must plan for the future. Plan for the days ahead. Live as though that Jesus will come any moment. But plan as though that Jesus will not come right now. Because we don't know. We don't know when he will come. Listen, Jesus may very well come before the end of the year. And I've been saying that for years. As well as, he may not come for another 10, 15, 20 years. I have to see how that will be possible, really. But, God be thanked, I'm not going to be around, really. Because of the confusion that I'm seeing, and one left to wonder, what in the world is going to happen? I am concerned about the ease of which they do business and technology. I'm very concerned about it. Because this ease of doing business and with all this technology, it also make it very easy for criminals to wipe you out. I am very concerned about the amount of information that business places want. Every detail about your life. They even want your utility bill. For what? And excuse the expression, but they want to know every ant's belly about you. You know how it's difficult. If a person asks you to butcher ants and they want the intestines and the liver and everything, and they give you a cow and they tell you want the liver, you got to get the liver and everything. Listen, it's easier for you to butcher the cow than the ant. Choose the cow. But all the minute details they want about you is not necessary. Last week you would have heard the grand news that all this information that they asked for you, especially about hotels, now they found that so many millions of people's information has been compromised. And it's out there all over Africa, everywhere, not a soul. They can't bring it back. They hacked into these systems and they have so many million people information. Now, I don't understand why some time ago I got a call from Jamaica and telling me that don't use your credit card. We're going to have to send you a new credit card because your information has been compromised. Matthew, I hardly travel anywhere. But yet my information has been compromised. And somebody in India has used your card and so many million, almost a million, so many $1,000. And so they realize that they watch my thing and my do a little business here, probably Hartford, TDC, and whatever. And then in my circle, and they say, boy, he never been to India yet. So the moment they see that my credit card was used in India, they know that something is wrong. And the amount, $14,000. They know, man, me not buy $14,000 worth of jewelry. What are you going to do with it? Me not even got a ring yet. I mean, I've been married for so many years. find something? No, 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 no. Mr. Maynard don't even move over the Nevis more than 10 once every 10 years. And so how could his credit card be used in India? So immediately, they blocked it. You see what I'm saying? I'll give you a little example. My wife used a credit card in Virginia. And then she drove to New York. And as soon as she got to New York, she used a credit card. They blocked her credit card. Oh, she was just in Virginia and now in New York, something wrong. So you had to call him. I'm in Virginia. Like, how you get there so fast, you know? And so they keep track on you. Well, that is good. But what I'm saying is, you know, that they could figure out that, no, something is wrong here. How could this person use his credit card at TDC or Horsford in Nevis yesterday or today? And he's in there right now spending $14,000. You know, something is wrong. But what I'm saying is, all this information that he asked for, I'm concerned about it. And it's going to get worse. And it's easier and easier to transact business because they have all your information. They know all about you. And those of us who are older, not up to their tricks and so, maybe you younger ones, but I sympathize with you. So if you have a lot of money, perhaps you have good reasons to be concerned. I just saw an article on YouTube this past week. 10 of the world's richest men who lost everything. One of them literally billions, and the man literally crying. Within days, he lost billions of dollars, everything, and so many of them have to go to prison. Not because they did anything wrong, but maybe because, I don't know, circumstances went against them. But brethren, life is getting difficult, more difficult every day. And we have to be ever so careful. So those of you who have a lot of money and you're concerned about it, I ask you to invest it in heaven where nobody could hack heaven and steal it. I believe this morning that I'm speaking to someone who is going through some turbulence. Life is turbulent. God is saying to you, fear not, I am with you. Life's journey is like taking a flight to somewhere, anywhere. No one can guarantee you that the flight is going to be smooth or it's going to be turbulent. But by faith, you go and you pray for safety because God is in control. At present, this world is like a plane going through a storm. And the Lord is saying to you, fasten your seatbelt and ride out the storm because it's going to be rough, but I'll be with you. I remember almost 2 years ago, just a little month or so, it's going to be 2 years ago, when Donald Trump was inaugurated, you know, the turbulence that there was before and protests and everybody protesting and, well, not everybody, bunch of people protesting and, oh man, there was all kind of confusion and that they were not going to let him go in there because he was not supposed to win. He was 99.9% chances that he's going to lose. And then against all obstacles and everything else, he won. And there was so much confusion that one newsman said, well, people, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a rough flight. It's going to be a turbulent flight for the next 4 years. Well, he is a prophet. Boy. Even turbulent. And it's going to get more turbulent because I still have 2 more years. But I could remember very well the man laugh and he said, this is going to be a wild ride. It's going to be turbulent, so fasten your seatbelt. The great thing I said to you this morning, life from here on is going to be turbulent. It's going to be a wild ride like a merry-go-round because people are trying to get at you. People are trying to destroy you for sometimes no apparent reason. And so you who might be going through some turbulence,
God is saying to you, fear not, I am with you. So in keeping with our topic, here are a few things that I want to share with you very briefly, very quickly. Number one, right there in our topic, and he said twice in our reading, Isaiah 41, I am with you. His help is present. That is the first point. Very easy, isn't it? He starts by telling them, fear not, O islands. And I'm glad he said islands here, you know. That we are not only continents. Seems to me like he was speaking particularly to Caribbean. Fear not, I am with you. It is always reassuring when someone bigger than you tells you not to worry. Some bigger brother, last night I saw in the news, listen a little bit, and sometimes not much, that someone went into a particular store, some unknown person, a good Samaritan, and paid for all the laid away that they had there. Everybody who laid away something with the hopes of paying for it, somebody paid it to the tune of $45,000. And when people went in to pick up their laid away, you know, I guess laid away from Black Friday, you know, this rush day at Thanksgiving, they found that somebody paid for their laid away, all of it, to the tune of $45,000. Everybody coming out and saying how they're so happy and thanks to whosoever it is, they don't know whoever it is, but it's a very good gesture. This is the spirit of Christmas. Boy, I wish I could do that for you. I wish somebody could do that for me. But anyway, when you have a bigger brother and say he tells you not to worry, he goes further by telling us that he will strengthen us and help us and uphold us with his right hand. So not only is he above the world circle, looking on and looking at us from a distance. And I always smile when I hear that song. God is watching over us. It sounds very good, but it is not correct. God is watching us from a distance. I usually change and I say, God is watching us from an inch stance instead of a distance. God is right here with us. Number two, not only that I'm with you, but it says here, I will not leave you. We have nothing to fear. God said, I will not forsake you, no matter how much the world may try to do to you. He made a covenant, and his covenant stand firm. And it's not like human being and people will tell you, come what may, oh, I love you and I'll be there for you and until death do us part. And a year or two after that wedding, that beautiful moment, see, I don't love you anymore. We read just recently, a man held his wife's hand and tell her, darling, I want a divorce. Out of the clear blue sky, almost turned the woman crazy. What? I'm leaving you. You know, just a casual conversation. As I said, listen, darling, I'm going downtown to come back. God's covenant is permanent. When God say, I will not forsake you, and Jesus Christ said that. So he said, not only to Israel, but to us also, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, and for no reason at all that he will forsake you or leave you or take that promise back.
So that is good and you can hold on to it. For those who are not born again, they need to think about this. God says, I am with you. This is for his people, those who are born again. As Israel was his chosen people, I will not leave you. But you got to know him. You got to get to know him. Even when you're backslidden, God is still saying, I will not leave you. He gathered up the Jews from the ends of the earth and he made them his people. And no matter what they went through, and in time of their biggest fear, he said, I'll be there with you all when they went through those turbulent times. He was there with them. And so it is that God is with us in these difficult times. Number three, I will strengthen you. This is comforting, isn't it? Do not let the critics discourage you. There'll always be those who are going to try to discourage you and tell you, you can't do it. You can't do it. It can't happen. Say, oh yes, with God, all things are possible. Number four. Not only that I will strengthen you. When you're weak, he'll give you strength. I will help you. Oh, it's so nice when you are in need of help and somebody come along and help you. Isaiah 41, verse 10, verse 13, verse 14. And so, brethren, I want to warn you and encourage you and admonish you. Prepare yourself for obstacles. Now, if you don't have any obstacles and difficulties in life, why would God say, I'm going to help you? If you're on your own and you're making it without God, you don't need God's help. But when you have obstacles in your life and they'll come, no mountain, no obstacle is surmountable, insurmountable, that God cannot overcome and crush. Prepare yourself for challenges. This is what life is about. Life is about challenges. Every one of us, every one of you, have challenges. You're in good company. You're not alone. Learn to cope with difficulties. This is what life is about. Man will do everything to make life as difficult as possible for you. Why you suppose that you have this taxi they call VAT? VAT is like a plague. VAT eat up, is like a locust. It eats up every dime out of you. And so why you suppose that people go crazy at Christmas time when they hear that there's a VAT reduction? Because VAT is a plague. And it was designed to keep you poor and make sure that you don't rise too high. You know? And so it makes life very difficult. But you got to learn to cope. And you got to learn to get around it by probably eating a little less, spending a little less. You may have to keep your car a little longer than you plan to. You have to make do with, you know, because if you don't have it, what are you going to do? Oh, by the way, I heard an announcement and listen, very misleading. It says this year you don't have to worry. Borrow more and worry less. What goes on? The more you borrow, the more worries you're going to have. You're always looking over your shoulder and wonder when they're going to come. And every time the postman calls or you go to the post office, you wonder what next. And you see in there what come out of that bill and you need to come now. You know. Boy, I see so many houses all over the place for sale. Oh my goodness. I saw a list in the newspaper. And boy, I almost wanted to look over my shoulder to see if they're coming for mine. Thank God I don't owe any of them anyhow. But listen, be careful with this thing about borrow more and worry less. Don't let them fool you. The more you borrow, the more you have to worry about. Learn to borrow less.
and live a little longer and worry less. Worry will kill you.
Worry less. God said, I will help you. Don't you worry.
Number 5. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. God's right hand speaks of his power. In that God is all powerful. And when we are plugged into that power, brethren, we have energy. Amen.
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 You need to be excited about the power of God upon your life. You need to tell yourself, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Where does your strength come from? Number 6, I like where it says, I have you. I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. What kind of language is this in verse 15? In other words, God will help you to overcome your enemies. Let's read it. Let's turn to it and read it. Maybe it's the first time that you're seeing it. I promise you I'm not going to be long on this one. Verse Isaiah 41. And let's read verse 15. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth, that thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills as chaff. What he's talking about here? He's talking about you having the strength to destroy the difficulties and your enemies and those who will come up against you. Not with guns and swords and knife, but through the strength of God. God giving you the courage to stand in the face of difficulty, and God will make a way for you. People will come up against you for no apparent reason. They'll make you enemies, but you don't have to make them your enemies. You don't have to fight with them. You don't have to curse with them. Just leave it to God and God will deliver you from them. Number 7, it says, I will open rivers in desolate places. I will make rivers for you. Verse 18, let's look at it. What is this speaking? This is speaking of God's provision. I will provide for you. Verse 18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the dry land as springs of water. Could you see God's provision? God did all this for the children of Israel. And if God did it for the children of Israel, God could do it for us.
Amen.
When you don't have any money, when you don't have anything, God knows how to provide. When your strength is weak, God knows how to strengthen you and give you strength for every new day. When the business place is trying everywhere and governments trying everywhere to take away every dime from you, God will provide for you. I'm thankful to God that God is not like government and God is not like man. Government take, 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 and take. They give you in little spoonful, tablespoonful, and they're taken back by shovelful. You know how long to take a spoonful of sand to fill up a shovel? Days, perhaps. And boy, they bring that shovel and they take it back right from you just like that. Here you are, saving it by bits, and they take it away from you wholesale. God is saying, fear not, I am with you. The day will come when he who has much will have no lack, and he who has little will have no lack also.
For whose will it all be?
Then it is read there, finally, number 8. I will make you a pool of water. God has abundant resources.
Everything in the world belongs to him. And his abundant resources are not just spiritual. They are tangible. God provides for his people. You don't have to fear. A lot of people don't want God in their lives because they feel as though they have to steal to make a living. You don't have to. Some people think you have to be dishonest. You don't have to. God will make a way for you. Let people do what they want. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. What is your fear today? What is your need right now? What is your struggle? Just commit it to God. God is saying, I'm there for you. Perhaps the backslider, many of them are afraid to come back to God because they feel that they have gone so far. No, you don't have to stay there. God is saying, come to me. If you look at the verse here, you see it's like a court scene where God is saying, I'm the judge. You don't be afraid. Nobody wants to go in front of any judge and magistrate and thing. The last set of people you want to see in your life, magistrates and judges. Because you don't know what they're going to do. Most of them don't know what they're doing anyhow. They don't know A from the Bullfoot. They don't know truth from error. And if they see it there as big and broad, they don't know it. It has nothing to do with what is right and what is wrong. It has nothing to do with truth. It's what is legal. And I found that out for myself. That they don't deal with truth. And they're always talking about truth. And the lady who is blindfolded and the balance. Balance what balance? Lady what blindfolded? They're as crooked could be. And truth means nothing. But God, he says here, keep silent before me, O island, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near and let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment, for God is a righteous judge. And he judged righteously and not according to man's judgment. Many people are in prison. Not because they did something wrong, but because of legal technicality. But I think this is a fact. The man said his life has been ruined. He spent so many years in jail because they set him up. And it was not many years later until many years after, thank God for DNA. And they did some sort of DNA and found that this man did not do this crime. But what they did, they asked him to plead guilty. If you plead guilty, we're going to give you a light sentence. But he said, but I didn't do it. Say, but you can't get away from this. We have you. Right now, they have a man that is telling him, if you plead guilty, if you do this, we are going. The man said, if I go to jail forever, I will have to stay there, but I didn't do it, and I'm not going to plead guilty. We think this is what court system is all about. He said, I can't. And even his lawyer telling him, go ahead and plead guilty because they say so, and there's nothing that I can do. We think these things are not right in the sight of God. But God is not a judge like that. And God said, come to me. Fear not, for I am with you. See there, God was saying to them, I know you're afraid of judges and magistrates, but I'm a righteous judge. Don't be afraid. Come. Come near and speak. Tell me what's going on. Let us come near to judgment. God is the righteous judge. Whatever your heartbreak it is,
whatever your needs are, whatever your sins, whether you've done wrong, if you've done wrong, don't be afraid to confess it. You know what God is going to say? I forgive you. God is willing to forgive you for your sins that you've committed. And there is no sin that you can commit that is too great that God will not say, I forgive you. Whether a saint or a sinner, God is willing to forgive you. And that's what he's saying here. And I will make a way for you in the wilderness. It's a prayer of my heart that you'll have a blessed Christmas this year. That God will meet your needs and provide for you. And that this Christmas perhaps could be the best that you've ever had. But if you're not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you need to turn unto him so that you could have that blessed and wonderful Christmas and you live without fear and knowing that whether Christ come or you should die, that you will be with him forever. This is the assurance that you can have and live with. You don't have to be worrying and thinking, what if Jesus comes? Will I make it? And some people have a salvation that they're not sure whether or not they're saved. I wonder where they got that from. God gives an assurance through Jesus Christ. Where it says in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. I know my sheep and they know me. And I give unto them eternal life. Many people cannot reconcile that eternal life. That eternal life is once for all. You take it from God today. No man can take it back from you. Some people say, yeah, the Bible says no man but the devil can. We think that is not true. If you're born again, you're born again. If you're in this world, brethren, you can't go back into your mother's womb and go back into nothingness. It doesn't happen. When you're born physically, you're born. When you're born spiritually, you're born. And you cannot go back into your mother's womb. And I want you to have that assurance. If you go to a church and they're telling you, yes, you can lose your salvation. And God's promises are all conditional. You need to get out of there. Pastor Wayne will tell you that some time ago we went to a conference and a pastor telling us that all of God's promises are conditional. Nothing is further from the truth. We think some of God's promises are conditional. But most of God's promises are unconditional. You look there and you see all those I will. Every one of them that I gave there. I will. I will. I will. I will not leave you. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Perhaps the pastor could give us an outline here for these. Yeah, you know, I don't have them literally. I just take it from here. I don't have the time to really. Time is running out. And so, I will uphold you. I will make you a threshing sledge. I will open rivers for you in desolate places. I will give you a water pool. Brethren, those there are unconditional promises.